Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm your host, John Crockett, and it is good to be talking all things footy. We're going to be digesting round two and we are going to give you some waiver wire pickups. There is no Stevie Fizz this week. As you can imagine, he is quite elated after being a lifelong Gold Coast Suns fan that they've beaten the West Coast Eagles. He is out getting the premiership tattoo as we speak while still enjoying his 40th birthday celebrations. But we do have the great man instead. It is the Statesman. Welcome to you.
Fucking Bevo. It's not playing McRae in the right position. Am I surprised that coach is stuffing our teams again? But yeah, generally a good weekend. But I, like everyone, I've got about three or four players in every single format that has just given me the irrits this weekend. Everything else is not too bad. It's great to have it back.
Absolutely. And the man with, well, he thinks he's got a plan, but he doesn't. It is Cam. Welcome.
Yeah, g'day, mate. Geez, I tell you what, this week is just going down to the wire in just about everything. Waiting for McRae and Bont and Co. to actually kick it up a gear. And like Stater was saying, Bevo just keeps on fucking us around. As we record with the game still rolling. But let's get into it.
Yeah, we will get into it. And look, we're just going to go through game by game, just a few things we notice. We're going to that will affect our fantasy, and then we're going to kick it into some waivers later on the show. But Stato, you checked out the Pies and the Tigers on Thursday night. What'd you see?
Well, firstly, the Magpies midfield is going to continue to score well, although they might play a bit of musical chairs on a week-to-week basis, and depending if someone gets a bit of a tag or something like that. Tom Phillips, 101. Pendlebury and Adams both got a ton as well. And still, Sidebottom got 83, which, of course, is still a BCV ton. So four of them tonning up, which is pretty impressive from the Magpies. The Tigers and Collingwood both still give up good points to defenders, even through these shortened games. So we're talking crisp. Howe, Maynard, Hooley and Asprey all received equivalent 90 points or above in these games. So that's pretty impressive. And last but not least, just a player of interest here. Shai Bolton may become the biggest forward bargains of this year. He scored an 83 and a 73 in these shortened games. Of course, the 73 come off good opposition too. Being against Collingwood, for someone that had an ADP of 281. So that's quite impressive figures. So he's averaging on the BCV scaling just under that ton. So a great start to the year for 21-year-old Shai Bolton.
And doing a hell of a lot better in Supercoach. He's gone back-to-back tons in the Supercoach and may feature later on in our waiver wire pickups. But do you think the scrappiness of the game was just due to 3 months of not having a competitive game of football?
Yeah, we could say that, but we could say that for every game, and not every game's sort of been like that. So there's a bit of an outrage. I wasn't outraged watching the game. I thought it was a fantastic close game. It was like watching the Swans and West Coast Grand Final, which were 20 metres quarters and didn't score that much either, and they were enthralling games because they were tight. So I was excited the footy was back, and I didn't understand there was outrage till afterwards. But I think we got to Friday, which Cam will cover, and I think we all got relieved to say, well, it's like a footy season. There are some good games, there's some bad games, there's some close games, there's some blowouts. Exactly what happens. Yes, there are a lot of things which might have been the tactics. It might have been the time off. We can't expect all these athletes to be 100% perfect after not playing for 12 weeks. It's never happened before. Even when they go into round one, they've had a good preparation. They've had two or three intra-club games and then some practice games against good opposition in whatever preseason series is up and running. So we've got to expect that some of these athletes won't be going. And I've mentioned a few players that I reckon are cooked. So the 12 weeks off might have really hurt some of the older players.
Fair enough. And Cam, you checked out the Cats and the Hawks on Friday night.
Yeah, I did. No, I just find it really interesting that you guys bemoan just how much I talk about the Cats and then you assign me a Cats game. Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
That's not going to happen next week.
Yeah, well, I'll enjoy it while
Let's see how this goes.
Yeah. Joel Selwood. We thought it might happen in regards to the end of last year where he went absolutely bananas in the midfield during the final series, and he's doing it again. He looked fantastic. He was everywhere on the night. And you would have drafted him quite late in your draft format, in your redraft, and actually is, I think, pretty valuable in the salary cap format as well. Secondly, the Brandon Parfitt breakout is probably on. It's a year late, but it's still probably on. He looked immense and he had cornrows. I mean, it's not often you get mullets these days and you get the old bleach blonde hair, but cornrows, not so often in the AFL. And he was absolutely everywhere and looked fantastic. And then finally, that Segler experiment that was, with Segler sort of playing the ruck and Ben McAvoy playing in defence, I'd be a little bit worried if I was a Segler owner. I'd be a little bit worried because I know they want to put them both on the field. What actually drew that was Segler was asking for a trade, and to make him stay, they said that we'll make sure you're on the field. And I just don't think he's better than Big Boy in the ruck. I don't think he was very challenging. He lost out to Reece Stanley, of all people. I'd be very worried if I was a Segler owner.
Yeah, well, Clarko came out and said he's pretty happy with how that setup was, and they're going to probably run with it for the whole year. I know it's a short year, but I actually thought McAvoy was a bit lost at sea in defence at times. Like, yeah, he can take a great contested mark, but I think he's actually better at the opposite end of the ground as more as that marking ruck forward than actually a defender ruckman. So who knows, we might get a change up later on.
I think that's really interesting in regards to, do you move him forward just so he can knock the ball to ground and then Bruce and Gunston and co. actually come in and scoop the ball up? Or
well, that's what Patton's there for, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That was about it.
And Ablett looked pretty good as that perma forward.
Oh, mate, he just looked like he wound back the clock completely, to be honest. That break probably did him a world of good. And he's clearly in the top sort of five players in the Cat side at the moment still.
Fair enough. Moving on now to the Lions and the Freo Dockers. And the Dockers actually showed a little bit here in a pretty good game.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dane Zorko spent a lot of time forward on this one. And actually, Fantasy Freako mentioned after round one that if his splits continues, then he's absolutely a chance for DPP come round six. And it certainly continued in round two. Doss was pretty big on it pre-season. He sort of thought that he would move forward and make way for some of the younger guys like Berry and McCluggage in the mid. That didn't eventuate. However, Zorko definitely did play a lot more forward. So if you're a Zorko owner, definitely hold. There is a very good chance that he's going to be DPP and very valuable as a mid-forward. I know a lot's been made about Brett Bewley's wing role. Plenty of noise came out of the West about how him and Akers had been the locks for the roles in the preseason. I'll tell you what, James Aish in his second game at the club, there was that massive first game in the preseason. I reckon James Aish might have played a lot better than him and was one of the main reasons why they came clawing back at the Lions. Won't be surprised to see if it's Akers and Aish on those wings going forward when Akers is right. The main thing, we're going to have a word to Doss about his goat anointing. He's becoming a bit too flippant with the way that he anoints goats, because Hugh McLugoat was more Hugh McAverage. Found it really hard to get in and around the ball on this one, spent most of the time in a wing. The Lions weren't overly impressive though, so there's definitely a world where Fags tries to get him more involved in the coming weeks.
Now, I had a look at the Demons and the Blues, and what looked like a demon just going to run a train all over the Blues. Melbourne decided to go full Melbourne and give Carlton a bit of a sniff. But things I took out of it, the D's are running with their number one midfield of Viney, Petraka and Oliver. Petraka was predominantly in that midfield. And then during the second quarter, they threw the Ed Curno tag on him. And normally when you get a tag, you shut them down. But the good thing with Petraka is he can go forward, which he did, and was able to kick a goal. So that's something that Melbourne now have up their sleeves, and for Petraka owners. So I wouldn't be too worried about it with if a tag does come his way in the future. He looked really good and was really strong. Angus Brayshaw seemed to get a bit of a run through that midfield in the centre bounces as well. So Gus was on the nose a little bit at the start of 2020 in terms of what his role was going to be. But it seems that with Langdon and Tomlinson as those wingmen there, that he is going to get some time in the midfield and play some wing role as well there for Gus. So he won't be pumping out the big scores, but I think what we've noticed is 80 to the 90s is going to be the new norm, especially for Supercoach for him, and 75 plus to 80, which equates to a ton before coronavirus and the shortened quarters. So that's, and Halley Bunnell, if you're looking to get him, maybe just hold, because he's only playing 50% game time at the moment, so they're going to probably look to increase his minutes over the season. If or when that happens, it's certainly a wait and see. The Blues, they were quite possibly the worst team going around at the first quarter, but they got their shit together. Pitnett, he was getting an absolute bath from Maxi Gawn, but to his credit, he turned around and actually scored pretty well, knocking out a Supercoach ton. I think it was 70 or 80 in AFL Fantasy. And Jacob Wiedering, quite possibly a Supercoach smoky there if he hasn't been drafted in your leagues. But he was intercepting everything left, right and centre. And if his body holds up, he could be a pretty good D5 or a bench stash in your leagues. Moving on now to the Suns and the Eagles.
Yeah, that's right. And the real reason, as you were saying, Jono, that Steve is missing, it is because of this game and the result. He managed to shoot a load so hard that he put himself into a coma. A little known fact about this game, actually, is that Matt Rowell has unfortunately suffered a back injury. After carrying the worst team in the comp to a win against one of the Premiership fancies, he just casually strolled out in his second game at AFL level as an 18-year-old and dropped a fat with a PH 108 AFL fantasy and a massive 171 Supercoach. Suns have Adelaide on deck, and he's probably worth chucking on your field as an M7 given the points they gave away coming in this week. Fiorini is a massive slut. He just had the 65% time and ground this week and was doing pretty poorly as a result. Then I looked down at my plate to pick which delicious chicken tender to eat next, and the fucker is mid-70s AFL fantasy and 87 Supercoach. The key thing here, though, is they won't have the luxury for him to slut it up every week. I'm not sold that the Suns are going to be a premiership force, and they will definitely struggle some weeks. And when they struggle, I think he'll score poorly. A lot is said about the Eagles' top-line talent, like Gaff, Tim Kelly, Elliot Yeo, Luke Shuey, and not Dom Sheed, but it was a lot of their supporting cast that really let them down in this game. Your sort of Petrocelli, your Liam Ryan, Jack Darling, they all went at mid-30s disposal efficiency for the game, which, you know, even against the Suns is going to get you scored on. They really struggled to deal with the Suns' pressure, and I think it's maybe just a bit of a shock that the Suns were actually putting on pressure, that shock to the system. Jono?
What the hell happened with Shannon Hearn? His scores just seemed absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, no, he just couldn't find his way into the game, to be honest. And that's indicative, I think, of the rest of the Eagles' list. There are a lot of passengers during the game, and while there was a lot of feeling in it, because I mean, think about being an Eagles player, right? All of a sudden the Suns are taking it to you and they're beating you and they're going to make you look really stupid. And so feeling definitely got into the game, and you know, Jeremy McGovern's now been suspended for a week, but yeah, a lot of players like Hearn just couldn't find their way into the game.
Fair enough. Stato, you checked out the showdown. What'd you notice in that?
Yeah, so Port's 2018 draft round, three massive stars are going to be draft league relevant for a long, long time. We're talking Zach Butters, who scored 114, which is a 143 BCV equivalent. Playing up forward, would you believe? Xavier Dersma, 92 for a 115 BCV, who has great outside run. Remember Doss said wouldn't have Xavier Dersma? Well, we're just smashing out the big scores already. and, of course, he's got some great class as well. And, of course, the lesser of the three, Doss's boy Connor Rosé, just sneaked in a 76 or a 95 BCV. These players are good now in redraft leagues, but they're going to be guns and keepers for a long time. These three, that's a massive pickup at a draft to get three superb players like that. I never would have thought Zach Butters could turn on the performance he did. Yes, it was against Adelaide, who, let's face facts, have not had a good time since Port's draft in 2018. It hasn't been a good time for them. Only Rob, Brad Crouch, and good personality Tom Lynch can hold their fantasy heads up high for the Adelaide Crows. But owners, don't panic. This is a strange year. They're coming back from a long break. Some will do it better. Some will do it a lot poorer, as the Adelaide Crows did. They will come back from this, so don't panic too much. Although there is one, I've got a big question mark, and it was Steve's prediction for the second highest defensive scorer of the season, Mr. Brody Smith, his D2. Whether it's a role or whether it's the shortened games or possibly a mixture of both, I would suggest a trade, but let's face facts here. He probably hasn't got enough currency after those first two rounds to get anything that you really want from him. So maybe you're going to have to hold fat. I know in off-brand, in salary cap, he's gone for me. There's no doubts about that. Something's not quite right. I don't know what it is, but he doesn't look comfortable there.
And what about my boy, Donuts Motlop? I picked him up off the waiver wires this week in the home league and just knocked out. It was a 93 AFL Fantasy and 116 Supercoach. We saw him actually playing pretty well in the Marsh Community Series. What's his actual role? Is it a high half forward role or predominantly the wing role? What exactly is it?
Yeah, it's a high half forward role. So he's got a fair bit of flexibility, as I think the Port have. I think my sense, and again, it's only one game, my sense was we've got the basic structures. This is how we want to play, but take the game on. And if that's what happened, if you remember Ken's first year, I think everyone fell in love with Port Adelaide because they were just such an attacking team. Well, that's what it looked like they've gone back to. And I think there's been a couple of times that that's happened at Port, and that's when they play their best. And I reckon that's where the love for Ken comes from, because players have freedom, and that's what it looked like. High half forward role, you've got flexibility, take on the game. So you're taking marks like he did. You love him playing footy.
And should you be worried as a Dan Houston owner?
No, I had this chat with Doss during messages. So I said, Brody Smith's gone for me, and I'm regretting, because he was always going for me after first round. But I ended up tipping Andrew Brayshaw. This is in off-brand. And I said, oh, he's definitely gone now. That's a 35 and a 45. And he said, oh, Houston too. And I flicked back to him. I said, well, let's turn him into BCV scores, because we can rage that someone scored a 66, and normally in fantasy you're hating a 66, but a 66 is actually a score in the 80s. It's looking quite pretty, to be honest.
So it's not too bad at all.
Yeah. So I explained to him, well, this is what you got at the moment. Houston has given you a 73 and a 66. He's actually averaging in the 90s. So you've got a defender averaging in the 90s. You're getting rid of that. And what Brody Smith has given us is averaging in the 50s. So you've got You've got two so-called premiums. One's in the 90s, one's in the 50s. Which one are you getting rid of? Hold on to Houston. Yeah, things are brilliant at the moment. He's not giving you the hundreds like you hoped, but the reality is I don't think he was ever going to be an elite midfielder. He's just going to be a good fantasy player while he's got defensive status and playing in the midfield.
Yeah, I had him 85-90 for the year. Never, he was never going to be that 100 averaging defender for me.
And he's averaging 90s right now.
Well, it looks like if you've got a game of football on a Sunday, you should be getting up at the crack of dawn, flying from Melbourne and heading to Sydney, just like North Melbourne did, because they took it to the GWS and won. It was actually, they played some really good football, North Melbourne. Todd Goldstein wound back the clock and absolutely gave Sauce Jacob a bath. And when I mean a bath, he absolutely creamed him. Sauce couldn't keep up with him. Goldie was running around the ground. He was taking marks inside forward 50, defensive 50. And it showed in the fantasy scores. Goldie absolutely knocked it out of the park, where Sauce was just a beaten man. So Sauce does have a chance to redeem himself against Tim English and the Western Bulldogs next week. So we'll see what happens there. But Goldie's endurance was unreal. And if you are a Goldie owner, you'd be loving what he's been putting out the first 2 weeks. Lockie Whitfield, he moved back into a semi-defensive role. He was taking the kick-ins. He was on kicking duties at times, but also playing the wing and just doing Lockie Whitfield things, getting the ball inside forward 50 to the defenders. So will we see him retain forward status next year? No, but he could get that defender status back if that trend continues. It was Zach Williams' first game back as well from an Achilles injury, and he actually started lining up in the forward 50, but then did transition into his normal halfback role as well. A lot of people would be interested about Callum Ward. He was sort of high half forward, a little bit through the midfield in the second half of the game. And on the North Melbourne side, one name that we've probably all forgotten about, and no, it's not Dom Tyson, it's Aaron Hall. He was actually attending centre bounces in this game. So it looks like Reece Shaw has got confidence in him. And he was in the centre bounces. He wasn't with the main group. He was in the second tier midfield group, as we've seen with these teams. So it was himself, Anderson and Cunnington at times running through that midfield. So if he's on a waiver wire, he could be worth a handy pickup and could be good bench coverage or even your final midfield spot. Cam.
Interesting with Aaron Hall as well. So he ended up on the 59 AFL fantasy points, but he had three shots at goal and one was sprayed completely wide and missed everything. There's definitely an opportunity where he, you know, turns that 59 into, you know, your mid-60s, early 70s, which is an absolute bargain.
Yeah, absolutely. And low time on ground. Oh, I wouldn't say low time on ground, but it was in the low 70s. So room for improvement there. If you're a Zeeble owner, from limited opportunity, he scored well in Supercoach, but he was predominantly forward as well. And one thing with the GWS side of thing, they had Ward, Cornelio, Kelly, all the Rolls-Royces together for the first time in a long time. So it quite possibly could have been that they haven't gelled together and had that chemistry that they've been missing for a while, but also the fact that they weren't getting their hands on the ball due to Goldie's dominance from the centre bounces and the clearances around the ground. So there's a lot to like about North Melbourne, and Cam Zerha could be something as well. He had a few shots on goal, and he's forward 50 pressure through tackles and running up towards the midfield as well could be something as well. But a lot to like about North going forward.
He's someone that I always think about on the waiver wire, but just never convinced what week is his.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've got big Benny Brown there, Mason Wood in that forward line, but he seemed to be the guy today. And sort of DeGoey, Dusty-like. He's that really solid mid-forward type who could probably push into the midfield later on in his career or in a couple of years' time if he builds that tank. So certainly one to watch for your keeper leagues. Moving on now to the Swans and the Dons. What happened there, Cam?
Yeah, only some cliff notes for this one because it was just this afternoon. But Dylan Scheel has a man bun now and it looks atrocious. And I think it's going to affect his fantasy output going forward. More from a, I wouldn't want him in my team if he had a man bun. But, you know, that's what it is.
I own him.
Are you going to, maybe you should grow a man bun. Jono with a man bun would be something to behold.
I tried doing that during ISO and the wife just, yeah, she vetoed that shit.
Yeah, it's a very easy one to veto. My wife doesn't need to veto it because I couldn't if I tried. Luke Parker looks like he's going to be an incredible value for his owners this year with two amazing scores to start the year off. And he just looks like he's, you know, in ripping form and absolutely trying to carry that team as far as he can. I'm really surprised that actually JPK isn't scoring as well. I kind of thought the two of them would be shouldering the burden, but it seems to just be Parker. Speaking of breakouts earlier on with Parfitt, Ollie Florent started really slowly. In the first quarter, he was basically in the bottom three or four scorers in the Swans. And then all of a sudden, quarter two rolls around and he goes absolutely ham. He ended up with 7 contested possessions and 17 uncontested, which if you... Yeah, we were wondering if he was going to have that inside role, and he's definitely upping his contested possessions year on year. He had an average of 1.1 last year, and so an extra 6 is essentially making his scoring output quite juicy with 90 AFL fantasy this week. And finally, Potato Langford, most likely a trap, and most likely going to scale down once Dyson Heppel's time scales up, but Interesting nonetheless.
Yes, once a potato, always a potato. Yeah, Sam Naismith, has he got something to worry about with Sinclair doing a pretty good job in his absence?
Absolutely not. Not even close. I mean, look, he did okay against Tom Bell Chambers.
Bell Chambers is probably on the way for the scrap heap.
Correct.
And if Doss was here, he'd say Draper, but we don't care about that because it's Andrew Phillips. And look, I've only seen a quarter and a half of this game. It is the Saints and the Doggies. The Saints actually look pretty good. They had a pretty good run through their midfield as the usual suspects. You had Steele, Ross there, and Gresham as well. It was Zach Jones and Brad Hill on the wings. Hannabury was starting in defence, but then pushing up through the midfield as well. But the one thing that really stood out for me is how Ryder and Marshall were playing. So Ryder was taking the centre bounces at the start of when a goal was kicked, but it was Marshall who was setting up in defence and then would take anything in the defensive 50, and Ryder would go back to the forward 50 and would do anything there. And it was Marshall sort of taking things around the ground, but that's, again, only up to a quarter and a half. Things could have changed from there. But on the Bulldogs side of things, it looked like Jack McRae was out on the wing position. At the start of the game, the centre bouncers was Bontempelli, Dunkley, and Bailey Smith. Bailey Smith is playing a lot of inside midfield there. Again, also rotating with Lipinski as well, who's looking pretty good. Bontempelli was doing okay, super coach wise, but not so much for fantasy. And same with Jack McRae. It's going to be a long year for the Bulldogs because their goal kicking is just crap. And the Saints' pressure, from what I've seen, was actually really good. So unless the Doggies can turn around, it's going to be a long year. But if you've got Saints players, I'd be pretty happy, and especially with Hunter Clark, this kid's going to be an absolute jet. He was intercepting everything inside defensive 50, so one to watch there, but that's all I've seen so far in that game, so I have to go back and watch the rest of the tape and see how that game's unfolded.
I watched about 5 minutes before we started recording. I'll tell you what, the Saints, it's been a long time since you could say this, but the Saints ball movement was like exemplary, and maybe that's more because the Bulldogs' pressure is not so good. But I'll tell you what, like it was exciting, an exciting brand of football that they were playing, especially, you know, Hannah's linking up with Seb Ross, and then Hunter Clark, as you were saying, intercepts for days. It looked really good.
intercepts and just his run off the half back line. Like, he was just blitzing it, like, from that back line, getting that ball inside 50. Like, yeah, so if you can get your hands on him, and I think he's 96% ownership in ultimate footy, but, you know, your redraft leagues going in the coming years, he's certainly going to be on my board going forward, that's for sure. All right, we are now going to move on to the waiver part of the show. The long-time listeners know that we use Ultimate Footy's 65% ownership or less, just so those playing in the deeper leagues give themselves a bit of a chance. So we're going through our top five waiver wires for the pickups for this week. Stato, what have you got for your waiver wires?
I've got three hot shots, mate. So Zach Butters, Port Adelaide, quickly talked about him before. Owned by 31% of leagues. The big key here is that he has forward status. And against the Crows, yes, he scored 114. But he does have Frio and the Gold Coast games ahead of him as a part of that new hub. So he has got a few teams. And if West Coast form or anything to go by, he might be able to kick a few goals against them too. He will have his ups and downs. He's only a second-year footballer. But worth the ride on a very highly talented player. And especially in keeper leagues, this guy is a great pickup. Can't believe he's on the waiver wire so much. The second one, and I just did this one to dig in because Cam cut this boy. I think it was a bit cruel because he went through a medical situation and Cam said, no, stuff you, you're not remaining part of our team. It's not one all, one in, all in here as part of Cam's team, which is called Statesman for Last, I think, this year.
It sure is.
Which won't happen if they can keep Tag and Bont. I might be sitting on top of the table this week, but that's only if. We've got a certain coach that plays silly buggers on us here, and he's ruining my off-brand fantasy team as we speak. But Jack Higgins for Richmond, owned by 42% of leagues. We all know why he's on the waiver wire, but his comeback game was very impressive. So we're talking a 79 against a good opposition and limited scoring opportunities as a forward. So there was only 5 goals kicked by both teams in this game. So for a small forward to be able to score 79, which is a BCV equivalent of 99, is a magnificent score. There was one thing he could do back in his TAC Cup days and NAB League days was he could rack up the footy. So we know he's actually got a bit of fantasy chops, this boy. So he's worthwhile punt. Especially when we have those Friday games, which Richmond will get a few Thursday and Friday games. He can be sitting on your bench, and if he pops out a good one, he's worthwhile to use. Now, this one's a bit unique, and I don't think anyone else is going to have this guy because he's only owned by 17% of leagues. All right, so Cam's going to have him as well. He scored a really nice score for his debut for the Lions. It's Callum Archie for Brisbane. His nice score, of course, was 69, which is the equivalent of 86. The key point here is he's actually a mid-only. Now, an 86 for a mid is not hugely impressive by any stretch of the imagination, but his role is in defence for the Lions. And in ultimate footy, we're talking that their change of status is actually going to be at the end of round 3. And I'd expect that he picks up defender status. Now, when we're talking an 86 for a defender, we're talking that's quite sexy. That's talking probably more a D3. In some teams, maybe even a D2. But I reckon he's a real bargain off the waiver wire, and he's suddenly become relevant at your D5 in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, I like the Archie pick. I do. Cam, what have you got for your waiver wire pickups?
Well, I actually think it's really interesting that it was 17% ownership because I was actually talking about someone completely different with 17% ownership.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. So Gibbons from Carlton had some absolute fantasy chops in the twos, won the Sonny Liston, I think, once or twice. And he did that as a midfielder, which is the key point. One of the few really good things to have seen from Carlton this week is that he was playing as a almost pure mid and scored well to reflect that as well. I'd expect that, you know, given Teague has now seen that he is serviceable and was one of the reasons why they were competitive, surely he's not the first one out of that midfield. The contentious point...
They're up against Geelong at GMHBA this week.
Yeah, it's more of a strategic hold, Jono, strategic pickup. But I think as a forward, he'll still be serviceable. I mean, if he's knocking out your 60s as a bench forward, I think that's really serviceable. Even if he's knocking out your 55 as a bench forward this year, that's really good. My second pick is actually Jack Lukosius, 64% ownership. And I'd guess that number's actually greatly inflated from a keeper perspective. So he's probably available on a lot of waiver wires in your redraft leagues. The Suns have Adelaide on deck this week. And Lukosius has found himself a really great role off the halfback. He scored 68 AFL Fantasy and 78 Supercoach this week. And I expect him to be consistent and actually improve as the year goes on.
Is that because Weller's moved into the midfield now?
Yeah, I think it's freed up that spot. And I was wondering whether or not Hanley and Harbrow coming back would actually affect his score. But he produced pretty much consistent numbers to what he was producing in round one. My third one is actually for those who have been hit by Sean Darcy going down. And that's to look for Pitnet. So 49% ownership and rising fast. So in the time between when I originally looked at that and then we're recording it, it had gone up by about 10%. So if you're one of the people who had Sean Darcy, maybe worth picking him up. He got absolutely smashed by Gawn early, but then he was really competitive towards the end of the game and his score reflects that. And then finally, I think we've already mentioned Shai Bolton, 64% ownership, had a great round one, backed it up with 73 AFL Fantasy and 104 Supercoach in round two. It's tipped to have a pretty good year preseason, but underwhelmed in the Marsh series, but it looks like he's turning up for regular AFL games.
Yeah, I had Pitnet at 49% as well and Bolton, but my number one is my boy, Donuts Motlop. Stevie Motlop, 34% ownership. As Stato said, they've got Freo coming up and was it Brisbane? So
Gold Coast.
Not too bad there. Gold Coast. No, they play Gold Coast round one, Port Adelaide, so they can't.
Oh, of course they do.
So, yeah, he's scoring pretty well. I'd be pretty happy to pick him up as at F5 or a bench stash. Jesse Hogan looked impressive in the scratch match for Freo Dockers. He's at 51% ownership, and he looked really good. Kicked a couple of goals, moving around freely. So he's someone who could push up the ground a little bit and score you in that 70 to 85 range in Supercoach. Cam?
And yeah, you'd have to think that now with Darcy going down as well, that Lob moves to the ruck position and that frees up a forward line slot for Hogan.
Yep, absolutely. And my last one is the big O, Oscar McInerney. He's only in 39% of leagues and he's a ruck forward, but Steph Martin looked absolutely cooked on the weekend and... Big O actually scored pretty well. So if you actually need a ruck forward type, if you're not happy with your Segler or if you are a Darcy owner, he could be a handy stash. So we know Steph had that, was it PCL injury over the break? So who knows, he could miss a week or two just to get himself right. And he is not a young buck anymore, Steph. So they could be looking to pass the baton on to Big O going forward. All right, it is time now to move on to the questions. If you do have any questions, hit us up on the Twitters, the Facebooks, or the Instagram. Kicking it off is James Jabowski. I hope I got that right. He says, with the Suns now being premiership favourites, is the writing on the wall for the great George Haaland Smith? Will we ever see him don the iconic red and gold again? And he says, any trade targets or waiver wire pickups for the Suns players? So, yeah, George Haaland Smith, enjoy the kneeful or whatever third or fourth tier comp they're running in Queensland there. So,
although I think it's fair that Cam gets to answer that question.
He's going to come back and he's going to be amazing with his 16 every week off the halfback. It's going to be great. No, I think he's with that injury, it's probably if the Suns can get on a good stretch of wins, that's probably curtains.
Can I say the interesting one is Day, scored 85, equivalent of 106. So obviously he's not going to score like that week in, week out, but he certainly has some potential for some big scores. I think Sexton is a possibility, but it's a rare occasion that he gets a big score. But I also think there are a couple of players on there that I think you'll find available in some leagues. And we're talking Ainsworth and also Powell. And both those guys can be solid scorers without being massive scorers.
From Russ, how many decent performances in a row needed until Petrarca becomes a trade target?
Well, the only reason he'll be asking that question, the only reason he'll be asking that question is trying to inflate his price, but it can't be inflated anymore. Yep. It's as simple as that. He is too expensive now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Steve Canton asks, in a draft league, how good is Blakely from Sydney going to be, and is it worth paying slight overs for him now?
So I'm assuming that's a keeper question. I think he's going to be very, very good, and part of the reason is his pace and endurance. So in other words, he's one of those forwards that can really push up the ground. And I don't want to compare to, so please don't, but if you think of the type of Rewalts and Buddies are the type that could do the long leading, long running. A less sexy option is good personality Tom Lynch, who's got a massive tank for a forward. So he's going to be a hit-up lead mark and kick player, which means he's going to be
Won't win your games with bags of goals, but he'll get it through possession of marks.
Yep, correct.
AJS Hawker, no question, just a Matt Rowell owner in a keeper league, just showing off, and must have played him on field. And then
brilliant.
And Mosquito Fleet also says, Brody Smith has shit the bed. Not really a question, just sad.
Yeah,
yes,
sad
we spoke about that, and that is correct. So if you do have any questions, hit us up on Twitter at the Draft Doctors and also on the Facebook. If you've got any other, just hit us up anytime. Message us if you have any trade requests, any offers that you might think about throwing up, hit us up. We'd love to answer them. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.